Okay, so B'siyata D'Shemaya with the help of the Master of the World, we're going to jump right back in to our limud of Rabbi Nachman's incredible sefer, Nassim's incredible sefer, Sichas Haran, the conversations of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. We call it class trip with Rabbi Nachman, trying to journey with the Tzaddik as he's sharing with us insights and stories and historical anecdotes and tidbits that really allow us into the world of Breslov, what this thing is, Breslov, what this derech is, what this path is, what this consciousness is, what this moach is. And so we're going to continue our learning from last week, where we delved very deeply into the inyan of Rosh Hashanah, particularly Rabbi Nachman's approach, obviously, to Rosh Hashanah, and what we learned very, very deeply about positive thinking, about what Rosh Hashanah really is, and what it is to go ahead and to have one day to recalibrate. We learned about finding who we really are inside, b'pnimius, reconnecting with that point, what it means to be sameach on Rosh Hashanah. We spoke so much about simcha, about returning to our essence, about returning to our source, and we're rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place of oz v'chedva b'mekomo, to really once again contact that initial earliest iteration, who we are at the core, at the essence. And today we're going to continue that sicha, predominantly the sources that are going to enable us to unpack the latter part of the sicha, the second half of the sicha. But let's start from the beginning, sichas haran chaf aleph, and we begin again from the beginning. We'll just review what we did last time, and we will continue to try to unpack some of the later points in this very short sicha, so the second half, right? The seifa, right, of the brisa over here, of this sicha. So the Rebbe says like this, Rosh Hashanah, Tzrichim Lias Chacham. Again, for the beginning, Rabbi Nachman says that a Rosh Hashanah person has to be a big chacham, very wise. What did that mean, wise? Sheyachshov rak machshavas toivos, that a person should be thinking only good thoughts. Sheyetiv Hashem Yisbarach Imanu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do good with us. He's got to do good with us. We learned so much about the self-fulfilling prophecy, right? The self-fulfilling thought that a person who believes mamish, that we can go on and we can continue, we can restart, such a person will have the schus to be able to restart. But a person who believes that we can't start again, Mamela, what are you going to do? That's going to be the biggest obstacle for him, a self-fulfilling sort of obstacle, because the more you believe it's a brick wall, the more it's going to be a brick wall, in the sense that you're not actually changing what it is, essentially, but if you believe it to be an impassable obstacle, then you're not going to be able to pass, right? And then it will indeed have emerged to have been an impassable obstacle, but not objectively, only subjectively. So much relies on the way that we see things. We spoke about Noach, we spoke about Er. Noach matzachein be'ini Hashem. Er does what's ra be'ini Hashem. He sees himself reflected, and his own perception of how God sees him informs how he tries to then interact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, or otherwise. Thank you so much for coming.
It's like the mashal of Bashandev.
Which mashal?
The inside of Bodas, all the walls.
That's exactly right. It's just an illusion. To be able to realize it's just an illusion. Bediuk. Exactly right. Utsrichim liyos sameach Rosh Hashanah. We learned about the importance of being very joyous on Rosh Hashanah. And over here, we're going to begin to unpack these two final statements and final parts in this sicha about what Rosh Hashanah is and how a Jew is supposed to act and behave on Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Nachman over here says, Gam tzrichin livchos b'Rosh Hashanah. Person has to mamish cry on Rosh Hashanah. We're going to learn about what that crying is. But it's very important to try to go ahead and to shed some tears on Rosh Hashanah. We spoke in the beginning of last week's sicha that it doesn't necessarily need to be mamish crying, even though, of course, that's the ideal. But it's hard for us. It's hard for us. We're very numb. We're much more emotionally overstimulated than any generation previous. We're exposed to a lot more good news. We're exposed to a lot more bad news, maybe in the span of a month, than they were in their entire lives. And so we develop a shell, a callousness, and sometimes it's a good thing. Most of the time, it's not such a good thing. But therefore, it's very, very hard for us to work up those genuine emotions, because there's so much in terms of barriers that we've built, right, to protect ourselves. We're very numb. And so we spoke about kol bichi, even to produce the sound, ke'ilu, to pretend, but it's not pretending, right? You know, and this is an important point that we've spoken about, I'm sure, in the past, that in Musar Sfarim, you find the concept of tnua chitzaini, an external action, ma'orer ha'pnimius, right? Awakens the inside. And it's brought already from the Sefer HaChinuch, I think one of the earliest expressions of this idea from Rishon in the Sefer HaChinuch, and the Mesillas Yesharim obviously brings this down powerfully, and many of the other Sfarim follow suit. But by Chassidus, it wasn't so much that the external actions are awakening something inside that wasn't there before. It's tnua chitzainis is megale ha'pnimius. By Chassidus, we start from the premise that a Jew inside at the earliest, deepest core, at the most primordial aspect of a Jew's being, we find in that place perfection. We find in that place holiness. We find in that place goodness. We find in that place divekus. Chelik alukami mal mamish. You don't get more davuk than that. That's what we find at the core. After that, there's a lot of layers of dust. And after that, there's a whole lot of obstacles and a whole lot of barriers that prevent that essential goodness and holiness from coming to expression. But that doesn't mean that it's not there. It means that it's there, it's covered over. Tnua chitzoinis, when we go through the motions, right, we're not only trying to go ahead and then awaken up something within that's going to fit our external actions. When we're going through the motions, you know what kind of motions we're going through? Not external motions. We're going through the deepest, deepest internal emotions that are happening deep under the surface, and we're allowing those to come to the fore. That's a very, very different perspective. Now, without going into the depth now, that perspective changes everything, right? Because when you work from that premise, that it's not about trying to go ahead to get somewhere that we're not, but it's just trying to get away all the other external, extraneous material that's sort of covering over what we essentially are, changes everything. And that's Chassidus. Tnua chitzoinis is not me'orer ha'pnimius, but is megala ha'pnimius. That's a very, very fundamental distinction. And so here what we're speaking about, Rabbi Nachman says, Gam tzrichim livchoz b'Rosh Hashanah, that a person needs to cry in Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes we've got to fake it. That's what we're speaking about. But we're mamash not faking it. Right? What we're doing is, in trying to go ahead and imitate, Ki shama Hashem kol bichi, that the Master of the world has heard the sound of my crying, we are tapping into that place that's always crying inside. B'mistarim tivcha nafshi. We're tapping into that place that's mamash crying, and this that we're not physically crying is just a hester, is a covering over what's actually going on. So by imitating the sound of crying, we're enabling a channel to open up between the deepest core of who we are to bring it out into the physical bepoel, right? But that's a very important nekuda. Ki shama Hashem kol bichi. There's a lot of other nice remazim to this. Torah is about this. I'll just give you two right now. One is the way in which the Aron HaKodesh, right, that was in mamash the Kodesh HaKodashim, the outside was gold, the inside was gold, and there was a wooden box in the middle. That means to say that a Jew's outside gold, the outer gold, that seems to be trying to be mashpia on the wood, that's how we view it, right? We think that like inside is just wood, we feel nothing. Outside, we'll try to be mislaiv, and we'll try to move our arms, and we'll try to feel something and dance a little bit. We're not happy inside. No. The outside gold is only a reflection of what's beyond that wood, that inside is mamish gold also. Find a similar thing by Yaakov Avinu, right? That Yaakov Avinu is bad. Battling with the Sarashal Esav, and Vayavik Ishimo, Chazal say, I'm sure I've said this to you in the past, but it's good to review. Chazal say, Vayavik Ishimo is that the Avak, the dust of Yaakov Avinu, was going up. Mamish, it reached to the Kisei HaKavod. Mamish reached to the Kisei HaKavod. And what does that mean? That Esav is telling Yaakov Avinu, Vayavasar Yaakov Levado, Idafka, when Yaakov Avinu is alone, is all alone. And that means that Esav comes to a Jew, Vayavasar Yaakov Levada, when a Jew is all alone, the Bnei Yaakov. And Esav says to us, very nice that you're behaving in a certain way when you're around other people, when you're around other Jews, and you're davening in a minyan. And it's very nice when you're in the Beis Medrash, and you have a Misgeret, and you have Chavrusas, and you have societal expectations. What about when you're all alone? Vayavasar Yaakov Levada. How are you going to act then when you're on an island somewhere on vacation, and you don't have a minyan to daven with, or whatever the nature is, Corona, right? Was a good marker of this. How do you daven then? And Esav wants to tell Yaakov, you see that all of your external sort of expressions of tzidkis, la'olam ya'adam yari shamayim begalui, is only when you're around other people. But b'seiser, it's not intrinsically essentially there. There's no la'olam ya'adam yari shamayim b'seiser uvegalui. The seiser is not there. It's contingent on other people. But by Yavasa Yaakov Levadi, look, you're not the same way that you were. And the avak reaches the Kisei HaKavod, which shows you what's up there. The Pnei Yaakov is chakuk on the Kisei HaKavod. That means that there's a Yaakov Avinu below, and that's the way in which a Jew is expressing himself externally. And then there's a big gap, and there's a whole lot of dust, and there's a whole space and a tremendous ladder of ups and downs, and a person that doesn't seem, right, or doesn't, right, that person doesn't seem when he's alone that he's the same kind of person when he's around other people. But beyond that, there's the Pnei Yaakov that's chakuk on the kisei. So there's the gold inside, there's the gold outside, and then there's the wooden box in between. But that's chitzoni. And so people ordinarily think of ourselves as having two elements. There's the external and the internal. But Chassidus comes to be mechadish that there's a point beyond that internal point, and that point is ever pure, ever holy. And the question is how much we're tapping it or not tapping it. So that's an inyan. Gam tzrichim livchos b'Rosh Hashanah, even to go ahead and to go through this nekuda of kol bichyi, just to try to pretend a little bit, but it's mamash not pretending. And finally, Beresh Hashanah b'yom rishon, says Rabbi Nachman, and we made mention of this last time as well, on the first day, tzrichin lema'et b'dibor b'ma'oid ma'oid, we spoke about how much you shouldn't speak about, speaking about speech on Rosh Hashanah mamish, to really be memayit dibor as much as possible. The Amar, and he said, Shadam gadol, that a big tzaddik, tzarech ledaktik b'zeb yoser, has to be very, very careful about the speech on Rosh Hashanah, v'al kain, and therefore Ibnasin records that who, Rabbi Nachman, enoy oyim Rabbi Yom Rishon afilu apayit. The Rabbi Nachman would not even say the piyutim. He wouldn't even say any of the extraneous, extra, it's not extra obviously, right? But anything that's not mamish and ikar yisod of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, of what this davening is supposed to look like, he would leave that out. Rak mashi yasod Rebbe Elazar HaKaler, what Rebbe Elazar HaKaler was the chief paitan, right? It was the head, the rosh paitanim. He would recite those piyutim, aval shar hapayit, all of the other stuff, eino oimer, he wouldn't say. And that's even in Kedusha. Machmas, sha'adam gadol, a very holy, elevated, big person, tsarich ledaktik oz biyoser, livli ledaber shum dibur sheinu mukhruch, mamish, not to speak at all. And that's what we said last week, that even in Uman, right, by the oivdim, you find that it's much quieter, much, much, much quieter. The first night, everything is a lot more toned down, it's a lot more introspective. There's a lot of, you know, trying to get through the suda and then go on your own and do your own avoidus, not to be speaking so much. So just to be conscious of it, you know, everything within normal measures and so on and so forth, but to be conscious of this nekuda of dibur on the night, and we'll speak a little bit more about that toward the end of tonight's shiur. Okay, so let's jump into the sources here. We begin with a piece from Shaar HaKavanos and Drushei Rosh Hashanah, where we speak about the concept of crying. And crying dafka with regard to the Yamim Noram from the Arizal Schusi Agunlin. So he writes over here, B'Shaar HaKavanos Rabbeinu Arizal Drushei Rosh Hashanah Isad's Broad, and this is Rav Chaim Vital writing, obviously was the scribe of the Arizal, much like Rav Nassim was the scribe of Rabbi Nachman. Gam hayu noyheg moyri zal livchis harbe b'tfilas Rosh Hashanah. He says that the Arizal's minhug was to cry very, very much during the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, afilu shu yamtiv, even though it was a yamtiv. We're going to learn, based on Rabbi Nachman's understanding of what bechiyah is that it's not a stira bechlal. But even though crying is normally associated with sadness and brokenness, even though it was a yamtiv, he was crying very much. Betfilas Rosh Hashanah, afilu shu yamtiv. Umikol shekem betfilas Yom Kippurim, don't even start talking about Yom Kippur, right, where mamish, obviously, he was crying much more. And Arizal says, and listen to this, very sharp words, mama sharp words. This itself should make us cry. A person who is not moved and stirred at some point to tears on these days, that itself demonstrates that the neshama is not whole. That there's something deficient. Now again, deep, deep, deep inside, we're crying all the time. And deep inside, certainly on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we're crying. But it means to say that we've not yet been megala, that point inside of us that's mamish shalim all the time, but the shlemus has not yet reached that outer gold box of the aron, right? It hasn't yet come to the surface. And again, that itself could make us cry. If a person finds in Rosh Hashanah that you're not crying, that itself is a reason to cry, right? Because what's going on, it means that we're not, there's something off. There's something off. The gravity of this day, you know, the essentiality of this day, the way in which it cuts to the core of our identity, of our relationship with Hashem, what Rosh Hashanah is. Gam hoya oimer, and that Arizal would also say, ki ish b'nei adam nidunim b'yom rishon, that are those that are going through judgment on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, v'oz hayadina kashya. And the first day of Rosh Hashanah is much more serious than the second day. It could be also that's why Rabbi Nachman said that the inyan of speech, whatever that is, we're going to talk about, is dafka on the first day and not the second day, because the din is much more kasha the first day. But the yeshni doinu b'yayim sheni shudina rafya. And then there are others that are judged on the second day where it's a little bit of a lighter judgment. There's a difference between the first day of Rosh Hashanah and second day of Rosh Hashanah, even though halal halachically it's considered one day, Yom HaRichta, but Kabbalistically there's a difference between the first day and the second day in terms of the level and severity of the judgment that's being handed down on those days. And are those that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a lot of mercy on and says it's better to go ahead and judge these people on the second day when it's Dina Rafia, it's a little bit of a lighter din. Va'amar. And so the Arizal says, "Ki ha'adam ani felas ala b'chia rabba me'ilu b'yama me'ilu b'tfilasai, hu hayra shenidoinim ha'oisa shalamala." He says, a person that's constant, that's all of a sudden stirred to tears on the first day, that shows that you're being judged in that moment. When a person is bursting out crying on the second day, what does that show? He's being judged on the second day. So it's good to keep in mind as well. Im hiyam rishan v'im hiyam sheni, an interesting thing. So you turn the page, and here we have a piece from the Baal HaTanya, Chosei Aven Aleinu, which speaks about this nikuda, mamish from Rav Chaim Vital, that we just learned from the Ari HaKadosh, and a little bit of a depth of why this is an important nikuda, crying dafka on Rosh Hashanah. This is from Likutei Torah, Parshas Ki Tse. And the Halakha Arizal says the following, and to all those that are following, that are watching, that don't have the papers in front of you, we'll be sending them out, Bezer Hashem, so you'll be able to do chazara with the papers. I apologize, it would just be too much to have to scroll and, you know, and give it this year also in person. So the Halakha, the Baal HaTanya says the following. Ki nimalos umadregas habachia b'chinas tshuva ila hagdolah mikulam. Crying, says the Baal HaTanya, is mamash and akuda of what? Of tshuva ila, a very elevated, incredibly high form of tshuva. Shekamba b'chinus umadregas yesh b'tshuva ila, because he says even within tshuva ila, even within a very high level of tshuva, there's many, many, many levels. And the highest level of the higher kind of tshuva, tshuva ila, is tears. Is when a person is moved to tears, a person is crying. That's the highest kind. And about this the pasuk says, with bechi, with crying, they'll enter. There's a bechina of yavayu. There's a bechina of entering into the gates of holiness. That's dafka through what? Through bechi, through crying. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, v'hini nar boiche, right? When Basia discovers Moshe Rabbeinu floating down the Nile River, she discovers that there's what? There's a nar boiche. There's a baby, there's a child crying inside. And she had mercy on him. And this is what is said about Rabbi Akiva. And of course, he's speaking allegorically on that pasuk. That it doesn't only mean, okay, you find the pasuk where there was a nar that was crying and somebody had mercy on him, but it means the same thing for us. And the Shechina, Baska, is also the Shechina, right? Kabbalistically. And it means that when we're tapping into that inner child within, when we tap that essential holiness that abides, that exists beyond all the dust in between the face of Yaakov Avinu below and the face of Yaakov Avinu on the Kisei HaKavod, beyond the wooden box that's in between the two boxes in the Aron, when we tap into that in place of the Nar and Boiche, and it brings us to tears because we're so clear in that moment of who we are and how we've been acting in a way that might not be aligned with our deepest essence, what happens? Tachmon Olav. So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamash has mercy on us, and the Shechina has mercy on us. So that's that pasuk. And here he brings an amazing, amazing Maimar Chazal about Rabbi Akiva. Sha'amra Rabbi Akiva k'sha'amra shira shirim. And this is going to be very intuitive. We're going to learn something deep about this. That when Rabbi Akiva was saying shira shirim, zolgu einav demois, his eyes were pouring forth tears. Shira shirim dafka, not the teichicha, and not other parts that we would think are clearer why somebody would be crying when he's reading the teichicha or when he's reading eicha. Shira Shirim. We're going to learn a special kind of Bechia. And what this means, Dafka Shira Shirim, that you would think is, you know, why are you crying during Shira Shirim? It's not a cry of brokenness. Adarab, Shira Shirim is the most beautiful, wonderful expression of closeness, of essential, unconditional closeness between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between Kutsh Brichu, Shchinte. What's the makom for crying? We're going to learn about what crying is. But this is what we find that Bekiba was crying over here. Shavachia halazuhu machmas. What's this crying about? Dveikus hanefesh b'sharsh. It's about an incredible dveikus. It's about an incredible closeness with our source that brings about tears. It's more of a, not even a nostalgia, but when we're moved, we're overcome with the emotion of being able, many, you know, over Corona, whose grandparents they couldn't see for 6 months, and all of a sudden, finally, you're able to go in and hug your grandma and your grandfather. All of our grandparents should be good, you know, should be healthy, be'ezer Hashem, and live Ameva Esrim Shana. When you have that ability to go ahead and to hug a grandmother, to hug a grandfather, to hug a parent, There's tears. What's the tears? What is that? What's the tears? It's not tears of sadness, Adarabba. It's tears of being overcome with the dveikus, with the closeness, with the love. And that's tshuva ilah. That's what we're talking about. That's that incredibly elevated shir hashirim dika tshuva. That's beyond, you know, regret. It's beyond that. It's the joy that overwhelms us. It's the deep nostalgia, that element that brings us back in touch with our deepest essence of dveikus b'shoshenu. That's the nekuda of what? Of Rosh Hashanah. To begin. Mamash, to begin again. To go back to the beginning. To be able to dig beyond all of the dirt and the dust, and to be able to uncover that be'er mayim chayim underneath that's full of living waters, where we're still innocent, where we're still pure. That princess that gets lost, al derech, right? Baderech siparti ma'isa. To be able to get back in touch with that, that brings us to tears. That's shir hashirim. That's the dveikus, that deep, deep bonding of the soul, b'shar shalamala, in its source. Not only in its source in the master of the world, but like we speak about in chapter 1 of the story of our lives, what's the ikar tshuva? Is tshuva to ourselves. Tshuva to our true selves. And says Rav Kook, when a person really taps into who he deeply is at the core, what do you find? You find the Kaddish Baruch Hu. The tshuva to who we are is tshuva to Hashem is. Because that's what we find when we dig deeply enough, when we discover our essence and that holiness at our essence. That's the nekuda of dveikus, of shir hashirim. When you connect to such a point that it's beyond what the soul is able to handle, right? You're not able to even sort of contain your emotions, and it just overflows. And that's what the Pesach Etzem Rebbe says in Ish Kodesh. He says, you know what crying is? Crying is, mamash, when you take a cup of water and you try to pour into another cup, and eventually you pour it over too much water and the cup doesn't have the capacity to hold it, so it overflows. He says, crying is what happens when your water level, so to speak, when your emotion level, chesed is mayim, mayim is chesed, when that feeling of emotion just overflows more than your body, which is the kli, can hold it, and it overflows and it comes out of the eyes. That's what tears are. It means that you lo yuchal esapik, right? What it says about Yosef Atzadik, right? That he had to run into the next room. He couldn't contain himself. That's what tears are. And that's what it means coming Rosh Hashanah, where you feel such an overwhelming dveikus in our source that we don't have kalim. We push it, don't have kalim. It's not a crying of brokenness, Adarab. It's a crying of shir hashirim. It's a crying of tshuva ilah. It's a crying, as we'll see from Rabbi Nachman in the next source, of simcha, ultimately. Ash ein shalit beruach lichlei. We can't handle it. Okay, we'll skip the next line. It's not relevant for us now. The al inyan bechia zu, says the Baal HaTanya, about this bechia, about this crying. Isa b'shem ha'arizal. It's brought from the name of the Arizal. What we just learned. Shekol mi she'ein oboiche b'Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim ein nishmas shleima. It's about this kind of crying. That the Arizal referred when he said that a person who does not break out into tears on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which, as we've mentioned, are days not of judgment and fear and regret and shame and guilt and all of that we ordinarily associate with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, mamish not. But they're days of La'ade ad yimleich melech elyon. When we have such clarity, and we have clarity not only into the nature of the world, Hayom Haras Olam, what this world is about, what the birthplace of Olam Helem is about, Hayom Haras Helem. Why is there so much Helem in my life? Why is there so much darkness in the world? Why is there so much brokenness in this experience? But we get clarity into who we are. We get clarity into tshuva, tashuv, to return not just to our Kodesh Baruch, but to our deepest selves in that moment. We should feel a stirring of emotion that's so deep and that's so expansive and that's so incredibly earth-shattering that our kalim can't handle it and it overflows. That's the kind of bechia that the Arizal is speaking about. That if a person doesn't go ahead and isn't moved to tears of this kind, it means that the shleimus of the neshama inside hasn't yet been tapped. It means that there's still dust, and it means that there's still a layer where we think we're caught up in that sandstorm of everything that we're not, of all those machshavas zaris, right, of all of those foreign thoughts and all of those foreign identities and all of the aspects of my life that I become identified with, but as mamas the nachash hakadmoini that originally is outside of Adam, and then only after the Eitz Hadas Tevurah becomes inside, but it's still a separate being. It's not who we are. It means that you haven't yet gotten out of that identification. But the moment that we do, and the moment that that Shleimus HaNefesh is tapped, and we're able to really, it's a crying again. Let's reiterate. It's not a crying of, Ribbono Shel Olam, look how terrible I am, look how broken I am. It's Ribbono Shel Olam, look how good I am. Look how holy I still am. Look at how strong we are. After inquisitions and holocausts and pogroms and 2,000 years of mamish torture and agony, after all of this, there's a defiance. It's, you know, to anybody who's familiar with the story of the lost princess, and I hope all of us are and all of us will be, and the story of our lives. So at the very, very end, we find that when the viceroy is faced with that third giant, and the giant is trying to convince him that what he's looking for doesn't exist, and there's no other giants to ask anymore. This is it. This is the end. This is the biggest minia sheyesh. What does the viceroy do? He mamash bursts into tears and he starts crying. What are those tears? It's not the tears of giving up, of sadness that he was misled, because he still believes with every fiber of his being that the princess that he's spoken to, that he's been toiling for decades and decades and decades and lifetimes, that she's mamash there and she's accessible, that he's still pure, that he's still holy, that every Jew still contains that ability to contact that place of holiness within. And he starts to cry. It's a cry of defiance. It's a cry of we made it. We're here. We don't understand how, we're hanging on for dear life, and we're not able to go ahead and sometimes live in accordance with our deepest ideals, but we're not allowing ourselves to be swayed by all of those external voices, even though they're inside of us, but we understand them as being external. We're not giving up. And that moves a person to tears. That's that crying that the Arizal says, that if a person doesn't cry in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it means that we're not there yet. It means that we have a improper approach on what Rosh Hashanah is and what the crying of Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be, because that kind of crying we think to ourselves we have no shaychus with, right? The kind of crying that has to do with like tzidkus and like we care so much about our averus and so on and so forth, that crying we may think it's for tzaddikei elyon, that they know what an avera is and that they know and so on and so forth, but not for us. But this kind of crying is shaykh for each and every Jew. This kind of crying is even a higher kind of crying than that. But mamish, we have shaychus with it. Dafka, we have shaychus with it. Dafka, the lower a person is, the more he has shaychus with it, because the more defiant that resetting, that recalibrating is on Rosh Hashanah. Mireishis Hashanah. This is going to be the year. We know it's going to be the year. How many Achr Shanas were there already? Achr Shana. Wasn't the right year. It wasn't the year that we mamish broke through, but it makes no difference. We're coming back with strength. Mireishis Hashanah. We're starting fresh. We're tapping into the Eretz Yisrael inside. Eretz Hashe'eni Hashem Tamed Elikechav HaMireishis Hashanah. We're tapping into the Eretz HaKodesh, to the Yerushalayim within, to the Beis HaMikdash within, to the Kodesh HaGadashim within, to the Aron within, and to the golden box within the Aron within. Tamed Eini Hashem Elikechav HaMireishis Hashanah. That's what gives us strength. The Ikra B'yom HaKippurim. And the Baal Tanya finishes, he says, the ikr of this kind of crying is Yom Kippur. B'chinas tshuva ila lefnei havaya titaru. We come to a very elevated place. Yom Kippur is mamish. Ta'inu, we made a mistake, titanu. You led us astray. Right? Titanu, we were led astray, ba'al karchenu. We don't understand how our lives went so miserably wrong, but Ribbono Shel Olam, we believe that everything until this very moment, it's all part of the master plan, and I'm starting fresh, I'm starting from now. Dafka, kuyimachim dvarim. Dafka, picking up the broken pieces of all of my mistakes and building something beautiful out of it. V'shuv al Hashem. Dafka. Ta'inu, titanu. We give it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Keser Elyon, Bina. Very lofty levels that are revealing themselves and are being revealed on Rosh Hashanah. Lefnei Hashem titaru, mamish. Lefnei Hashem, mamish. The moichin, mamish, and the panim of a kadosh baruch hu. Lefnei Hashem titaru. That's what's cleansing us. In that place, there's makom anymore to go through. I am so low. I'm so broken. When you come to that place of ni'ila, like the tzaddikim say, what's ni'ila? Ni'ila is not, the gates are closing. We're being locked out. Ni'ila means, like the Vitebsker said, ni'ila means mamish. We're brought in, and a kadosh baruch hu locks the door behind us. And it's just us and HaKadosh Baruch. That place of Ni'ila is beyond anymore. It's like a fury. It's quick. You know, I'm Zocha to Davin for the Amid on Yom Kippur. Everything is with fire. And you're not even, you know, between Vidui to Vidui to Vidui. And it's not even Viduyim, right? Maybe right in the beginning. It's Hashem, Hashem, Kal Rachem. It's just the mamish, the midas of Rachem. And you can't even, you know, count on your fingers how many there are. It's just from one to the next to the next to the next. It's like a fire. It's a whirlwind of dveikas. Ribbono Shel Olam, this is who we are. It's Ni'ila, it's Dveikas B'Shayrish. Tshuva Ila. It's much more than a crying over guilt or shame. It's far beyond that. And Chassidus wants to speak to that kind of Yiddishkeit, to the shir hashirim aspect. Not of all the lowliness of how lowly we are and what we have to fix and so on and so forth. Certainly we have to understand what there is to be misakin, but not in a way of saying that I am essentially broken, now let me go ahead and try to reframe and try to go ahead and, not reframe rather, but let me go ahead and try to fix, you know, what I perceive to be broken within me, but to say, no, I'm shalim. Mam is shalim within. And all the brokenness is an illusion. And it's up to me simply to wipe away these external layers of dust to be able to reveal who it is that I really am. And that comes to the fore on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. By Hasidim, they don't look forward to Purim with as much excitement as they look forward to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, like we said, Rabbi Nachman said, the second Rosh Hashanah is over, he's already listening out to hear them banging on the wall, calling everybody to Slichas, ready for the next year. Because Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Nachman says again, Gar Mein Zach, my whole thing is Rosh Hashanah, my whole thing. Starting again, essentiality, cut through all the externalities, all of this extraneous things, not just physically in the world in terms of distractions and taivas and kinetaiva kavod matzinas adam and olam. Aside for that, even in Yiddishkeit, to cut through all of the distracting elements of this sugya and that halacha and this nekuda, to reveal what's at the core, the princess of it. What is this all about? That at the end of the day. That's the ne'ila where it's just you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're requested to bring your authenticity to that moment, your sincerity to that moment, the whole you, have you done as kol ha'adam lekavzchus, the whole person, mamash, who you are in your wholeness inside, not the separate aspects of what you do and, you know, what are some of the mistakes that you make. Those are secondary. To bring mamash your whole self, and when you can do that, you tap into a place of bechiyah, but a bechiyah of the highest, most elevated tshuva. And here Rabbi Nachman elaborates on this. This is in the Kutumran Kuf Ayin Hey, a very famous teaching. It was actually one of the first Torahs that I saw in the Kutumran, this and the piece before it. My father told me to look it up, and it was mamash changed my life, these two pieces. And the Heliger, Rabbi Nachman says the following, Iker Milas Habachil, what is crying all about? And again, this speaks directly to everything that we've been talking about up until now. What's the Iker Milas Habachil? And again, the Milas Habachiyah is very important. He's not simply saying, what is the advantage of crying? What's the Milas Habachiyah? What's the highest form of crying? Because there's many kinds of crying. There's many aspects of crying. There's a crying of Tshuva Tata. There's many levels within Tshuva Tata. There's a crying of Tshuva Ilav, higher Tshuva, many levels there. What's the Milas Habachiyah? What's the highest level of crying? He, says Rabbi Nachman, Kisha Adam, Machmas Simcha, I'm sorry, Kisha He, when it is Machmas Chedva V'Simcha. Because of an incredible celebration. Because of an incredible deep joy. Not a little bit of a happiness, something went right in your life. Beyond that, it's a deep-seated, essential joy that cuts through, that's beyond any pleasure, that's beyond any good news. It's mamash the deepest. V'afilo acharata, says Rabbi Nachman, even the regret that a person often feels, toiv ma'oid, it's very good for that kind of regret to be mixed in to the joy of being able to return by means of identifying what are those things that I need to fix. And what are those things that are the external distractions of my life that aren't connected to who I am, the Pnimius. That it should be out of joy. Because of our incredible rejoicing by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is... how do you think Hashem's face looks on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is smiling from one end of the world to the other. We're coming back for God's sake. Literally, for God's sake. I mean, what does He want from us, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole year asks us to return, and for 10 days of the year, we're mamish and amatzav are returning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is arms, yimincha pshuta lekabel shavim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is overflowing with incredible acceptance and love for us. And so when we're approaching, when we're doing our charata, let it be basking in the light. Ba'ar panecha ki ba'ar panecha nasat alanu. Mamish, it should be in the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face. Lifnei Hashem titaru. Because of this incredible rejoicing, when a Jew returns, it's not walking sluggishly, it's dancing. Tshuva needs to be dancing toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dancing back home. Dancing not in a way like we often think about tshuva as contorting ourselves, and it's so difficult and what we're giving up, and this is not really what I want, but I got to do it, I'm going to feel very guilty. It's mamash not. There's nothing more natural to the Jewish heart than tshuva. You're not only returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and leaving yourself behind, you are returning to you, to who you really are to who I really am. That's what tshuva is. And such a tshuva is mamish dancing. Such a tshuva needs to be with dancing. Like we learned last week, dancing into the book of life. Mamish dancing, right? That those who were dancing were already written in the book of life. And those that were standing on the side somber, it wasn't so clear, right? Mamish dancing. That gagua, that yearning that Rabbi Nachman spoke so deeply about, that Rabbi Nassim describes in Chaim Aran as the gaguim around Rabbi Nachman Friday night. If you can imagine what that was, the zemiris, if we could imagine what that is. That Rabbi Nassim describes the Hasidim as climbing the walls out of their gaguim. They didn't know what to do. They pushed it, were out of their kalim. To just imagine what this group of broken people lit up with the Torah of Mashiach, Mamish, sitting in the throes of Gullus, in the deepest exile, whose hearts were on fire with Torah Da'atika Stima, what's called in Kisrei Breslov the Yain Hungary, the Hungarian wine. Mamish, the Torah of Mashiach. I mean, they didn't have Kalim for it. Rav Nassim says, just imagine these Hasidim just crawling at the walls, like they don't know what to do with themselves. That's what Rabbi Nachman wanted. Shlomo Kash has put out a song with Nissim Black, also based on a Sikh and Chaim Aran. Rabbi Nachman said, it's very nice that you'll be good Jews, but that's not what I wanted. I wanted people like animals howling in the forest at night. That's what I wanted. Out of Kalim. Mamish, a yearning that's unbearable. That's mamish unbearable. And that's what the tshuva is supposed to be out of, this unbearable, ferocious, wild, mamish wild yearning. That, by the way, doesn't have to look wild on the outside. Inside. You can look contained. And in your heart could be a fire that's burning from one end of the world to the other. We spoke about the silent scream. Right, about that silent scream. That's the ikar. Rabbi Nachman wants a contained person that inside is, I mean, Shmei Hashemayim Lo Yichalkalu. You know, the heavens can't hold such a feeling, such a storm of emotions. This, that a person went ahead and he has acted in a way that was improper, and a person's yearning now to be able to come back. And a person goes ahead and is overcome with crying, but again, it's not a crying of sadness or brokenness. It's out of joy. Says Rabbi Nachman, this is the ikr mila of bechia, shetia machmas simcha, that it should be out of joy. And Rabbi Nachman explains that this is why the word bechia, hu rashi tevos, is a mnemonic for the pasuk bishimcha yigilun kol hayoyim. In your name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we rejoice the whole day. That's rashi tevos bechia. That's the ikra milas habachia when it's out of this incredible rejoicing. She ikra habachia, she tiyamach masimcha b'shma yizbar. That's the ikra. One other nekuda also, we're going to learn here from Lekutumran Reish Nun, is that the whole thing of Rosh Hashanah is that we're trying to be mam shechuat hashgacha. We're trying to bring the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha back into our lives, that we should be conscious of it. That we should, again, draw the Einei Hashem Alekecha Ba Mireishis Hashanah V'adach Rishonah Ba Mireishis Hashanah. Right? What's the headquarters for the Einei Hashem Tamad Alekecha Ba? Mireishis Hashanah. It's from Rosh Hashanah. The whole Indian of Rosh Hashanah is drawing down that Hashgacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rabbi Nachman, how do you do that? How do you awaken Hashgacha? Says the Heilig Rebbe Chos Yagon Leinu. V'azai Moirid Dema'ois. Based on a Gemara, we can't go into the whole thing now, but there was a certain necromancer, like a certain sorcerer, who was asking one of the Amiraim, he asked him, what's an earthquake? And he started to explain to him, what's an earthquake? He says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers that his children are in exile, are in gullus. And he goes ahead and he cries over that. He says, two tears drip from his eyes and fall into the Yama Gadol, and from that the whole earth shakes. And the voice is heard, the sound is heard from one end of the world to the other, and that's what causes an earthquake. Says the Heilige Rebbe, what does that mean? Moirid Mo'iz. What does that mean that a Kodesh Baruch Hu cries? The Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have eyes and he doesn't cry, physical tears. What does this mean? He draws Hashkacha upon us. Ki Dema'iz, because tears heim b'chinas Hashkacha. Crying is associated with Hashkacha, with God's providence. Kama Sha'am Rabbi Seinus Chana Levracha Lechazal Se'al Pasuk on the Pasuk in Ke'elis V'Shavua Avim Achar HaGeshem, that after the rain the clouds return. Se'chazal Zehor Us. This is referring to to eyesight, shahoylech achar abechi, that after a person cries after the geshem in our own physiological state that's associated with tears, what happens? Shavua avim, the clouds come and we lose our eyesight. Says Rabbi Nachman, what does that mean? That means that each and every tear contains a little portion of eyesight. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyesight? It's Hashem's hashgacha. Nimsa, you find shadmois hin loikchim chelek haru'us, that our tears, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tears, but our tears contain a little bit of our eyesight in them. And that's why if a person cries and cries and cries and cries, that's why they ain't Leah Rakus, right? Leah's eyes, her eyesight wasn't so good because she spent so many years crying over this that she felt that she was going to go to the portion of Esav, right? Because the older one to the older one. But this nekuda of eyesight being drawn into the tears is this aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu crying. Because in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tears are flowing that incredible Ashkacha. What does it mean that Hashem cries? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is drawing Hashkacha upon us. So we know that Hashem Silcha, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing what we're doing. What we do down here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing up there. Da malamala, we should know that what's above, mimcha, is coming from you, like the Nevi Chaim, the Kedusha Levi, other tzaddikim say. So memela on Rosh Hashanah, that we're trying to draw down this hashgacha of tamid eini Hashem, eini Hashem, alekecha, meireishes Hashanah, v'ad achr Shanah, which is koilo nishma, misoifa ilam, v'ad soifa, is the same thing as reishes Hashanah, v'ad achr Shanah, what it is in time, that is in makom, that's part of that gemara over there, what do? You have to cry. And the tears were being ma'orer, the hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when a Jew is crying, leiv nishbar v'nitke elokim lo sivze es daka, ani eshkan es daka, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes down to those that are broken, karav Hashem l'nishbar elev. It's dafka when a person is in such a matziv, where a person is able to be married, d'ma'is, that awakens that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be with that person. Okay, so the last couple of minutes we'll start. I don't think it will get through all the sources, but you never know. For the last 15 minutes, could be that we'll get through it. Let's try B'siyata D'Shemayah to do the best we can to get into Sichas Aran Chaf Beis. But that's Rosh Hashanah. And I think that really, you know, and I was speaking to somebody, I was learning with somebody a separate piece from Likutei Halachas on Sunday morning. And I was telling him, because we were learning this piece, is also about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There are thousands of svarim on the Yom Tovim on Chagim, right? All the tzaddikim are speaking about the Yom Tovim from 1,000 different angles and 1,000 different approaches and different aspects of the Yom Tovim and the deeper meanings and messages. When Rabbi Nachman speaks about Yom Tov, he captures the essence of the essence of the essence of the essence of it, and everything else is parshanut. What Rabbi Nachman says about Purim and Taryud is the essence of Purim. It's mamish, like the core. It's not a Torah, it's not a nice thing to say over by a Sheva Brachas. You know, it's mamish, the deepest kernel of the essence of the core of what that Yontif is. And so over here, what we just learned in last week's session and in the beginning of this, or the majority of this week's session, this is Rosh Hashanah. This is Rosh Hashanah, what it is at its mamish, its deepest essence, the idach zil gemar. Anything that you'll learn from any of the tzaddikim that talk about, now we can speak about what shofar is, and malchus achronis with shofaris, and all these different elements. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you for printing the sheets. All of these nekudas are going to be sort of the layers and layers and layers and layers on top of the root of what this is, of the essence of what this is, what we've learned together last week and this week. So this is going to be an important shiur to either chazer, right, if you listen to the audio again, or the source sheets, if you've kept the source sheets, you have them on PDF to review. You go back before Rosh Hashanah, this is hachana, mamash hachana. What we're supposed to be feeling, what we're supposed to be thinking, what Rosh Hashanah is all about, what we're supposed to be doing. This is Rabbi Nachman's guide to Rosh Hashanah in 5 lines of Hebrew text, and a tiny little sicha in the beginning of Sichas Aran, that mamash contains what Rosh Hashanah is at its core. Okay, so here we get into Sichas Aran Chav Beis. And the Rebbe says like this, and this is going to be a little bit of a prelude to Sichas Chav Gimel, which is much longer, which we'll get into next week, B'siyata D'Shemayah. Toiv ma'oid mi shezoich aliyas mekorv letzadik amiti. Says Rabbi Nachman, it's a very good thing to be able to be close and to build a kesher with a true tzaddik. What a tzaddik amiti? What does it mean, a true tzaddik? Halloy, there's many tzaddikim. Rabbi Nachman says, in Tinyana, I can't remember exactly which lesson right now, but Rabbi Nachman says, yesh harbe tzaddikim. There are many, many tzaddikim, but v'yesh nekudas ha'emes shebeina tzaddikim. there's among those tzaddikim, there's an akudas ha'emes, there's a certain gilui coming down through the Torah of a particular tzaddik or a particular kind of tzaddik that's revealing a level of emes that's even beyond the emes of all of the other tzaddikim hayois, though everything they're saying is emes. The mamash doesn't denigrate not one bit from any of the other tzaddikim, but there's a certain neshama that's sent to the world to be megale what we spoke about, the pinimius of the pinimius, the emes la'amito of what it is a Jew, of what it is Hashem, of what it is the Torah, that doesn't take shortcuts. Mamish is at the essence, right, of what Yiddishkeit is, and is able to capture that and give it over to the Talmidim and to the Chasidim, in this case, right, to give it over to the Talmidim so that they are mamish able to be on fire with the essentiality of Yiddishkeit. And it's not just sugyas and halachas and poiskim and musar and even Chasidus. There's something beyond that, right? And this is what the Hasidim, when the breast of a Hasidim, when they're singing Eishes Chayil, sometimes we do it by us Friday night. I like to do different zmiras just to encompass everything. But sometimes we do the breast of Eishes Chayil, and the Hasidim like to repeat this pasuk, Rabbis Bonois Asu Chayil. Rabbis Bonois Asu Chayil V'at Alis 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 Al Kulano. Which means, Rabbis Banos Asu Chayil, there are many daughters, there are many women Asu Chayil that are doing this incredible acts of valor. Va'at Alis Al Kulana. Then there's a separate kind. It's not better, it's not worse. It's pasha different. Yesh nekudas ha'emes shebeina tzadikim. And the Breslovers believe very, very strongly and feel very strongly that the tzadik that spoke more than anybody else about the nekuda of tzadik emes, like the Gemara says, right? The one who krenet de inkrisa, right? The one who brings the letter, yila havi prunka. You should be the one who should read it, right? So it means to say, and that's mamasho yosef tzadik, you know, what power is set to yosef tzadik. You're the one who's being able to go ahead and to interpret what my dream is, you carry it out, right? So the one who's speaking about it, memela means that he has a very strong kesher with it. Va'at alis al kulana, this Torah, these ideas, this essentiality, this yearning, this gagua, this eish, shali, tukat bias ha-mashiach, is nothing like this that exists, right? Throughout history, we've spoken about this many times in the past, this kind of neshama was revealed in different generations, increasingly toward the end of time, and Rabbi Nachman, the Baal Shem HaKadosh, the Arizal, further back in time, Shimon Bar Yochai, beyond that, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? All of these tzaddikim that are seen as spiritual game changers in the sense that once they came to the world and revealed their Torah, nothing was ever the same. Moshe Rabbeinu brings down the Nigla of Torah, nothing's ever the same, changes all of humanity, every aspect of life, right? The Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai reveals the Zohar Kaddish, changes Yiddishkeit. That Arizal gives us the key to the Zohar Kaddish, allows us to really understand what the Zohar Kaddish is saying with regard to how these Kabbalistic ideas manifest in the upper realms. The Baal Shem HaKadosh brings Kabbalah down to earth, takes Kabbalah and invests it within our emotional, psycho-spiritual makeup. And then Rabbi Nachman of Breslov comes to mamish take us home. Mamish to really take us, the cherry on the top of this whole system, what's called the Chameshas Yechidei HaDairis. These five unique tzaddikim, these five towering souls that ultimately Breslovers believe are part of the same neshama that came throughout history to be able to move the ball along, and nothing was ever the same before, nothing was ever the same after. This is an akud of tzaddik emes, right? That it doesn't necessarily need to mean that in every generation there's a tzaddik emes, right? In that generation. In Chabad, they speak about Nisi Dairenu, right? There's another concept in Chabad, and there's a great deal of speculation as to whether that's the same concept, a different concept, different shitas, different opinions, different approaches. But in Breslov, this is a very fundamental idea. And therefore, we are seen as having the ability to be mekasher to the tzaddik emes, to be able to have a relationship with this tzaddik by doing the eitzes. We spoke about in our parsha shir recently, the importance of doing eitzes of the tzaddik, not just to learn the Torah, but to really put it into practice. This, right? Certainly to learn the svarim of the tzaddik, or Benachman in another place says, benafshi, kshur benafshi, is an element of ava, to love. You come to love the tzaddik. You know, that you come to have a debt of gratitude to this person that mamash changed your life in a thousand ways and gave you chayim, mamash chayim, rishayim, tzaddikim, rather, afilu b'misasim krim chayim, they give life. Right? The Zohar Kaddish says that the tzaddikim, after they're already left the world, they're found in the world, yatmi b'chayoi, that their impact is alive. Yaakov Avinu loy meis, speaks, mamish, that they're really here, they're alive. We have the ability to contact them. Says Rabbi Nachman, it's a very good thing to be mekurev to a tzaddik amiti, which is exactly what we're doing right now, is learning the words of a tzaddik emes. Ki lo asid lavai, because lo asid lavai, ksiv, the pasuk in Iyov tells us a scary thing. Le'echos bekanfos ha'aretz v'na'ar rishoim mimena. That a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to sort of hold on to the edges of the earth and to shake the rishoim off of it, whatever that means. The earth doesn't have edges. That the edges of the earth will be grasped and the earth will be shaken like a garment. We're going to learn from the Zohar Kaddish in a minute what the Zohar's take on this. But a person who was close to the tzaddik, a person who had a kesher to this kind of hasaga, to this kind of understanding of what it is, essentiality, what it is to be a Jew, at our essence, at our core, we are holy, and this is very much kashur to what we have been speaking about until now. What Rosh Hashanah means: a person that has a kesher to the tzaddik emes in such a way that he's able to have or to maintain contact with that essence of who we are, because that's what the tzaddik emes is revealing to us. He's revealing to us the deepest hasaga in Hashem, the deepest hasaga in the Jewish soul, the deepest hasaga in the world at large, the deepest hasaga in Torah and mitzvahs and so on and so forth. Such a person, as ayachzik v'yoychiz atzmi ba'tzaddik, he'll be able to hold on to the tzaddik. When the whole world is shaking, and when everything is falling apart and crumbling, and there's insanity upon insanity upon insanity, and up is down, and down is up, and left is right, and right is left, and everything's falling apart. Holding on to the tzaddik, to that sanity, the initial kayim will enable us to hold on. Will enable us to be able to again tap in to the essence and not to allow ourselves to be drawn into the fringes of this grand cloth that's called human existence. The fringes being those things that are not essential. The machshavos zaros, those things that are foreign to us. Not to identify ourselves with the negative actions that are not us, but are solely and purely dust on the surface of this perfectly clean water bottle that has within it perfectly clean water. And because we look at it through this aspect of dust, so we think that the water is dirty inside, but to be able to maintain a connection to that place, to move away from the fringes of this garment, knafis ha'aretz, it's dafka the edges that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds onto. But the tzaddik is the center, is the core, is reminding us of our essence, of our center, of our core. So memeila nishar kayim, you'll be able to hold on. Because you'll be able again to escape from the fringes of our identity, to again return to who we are at the deepest essence of our being. The initial kayim, v'lo yininar, and we won't be shaken off. Imar Hashem, who spend all of their time hanging out at the edges of the edges of the edges of the externals, always looking outside of themselves for happiness, always seeking further physical gratification to try to go ahead and to make life manageable from an external standpoint instead of tapping deeply into the core, into the root. Because we will have held on to the tzaddik who again is always speaking about the essence. The tzaddikim amitim are always speaking about the essence of the essence of the essence. They don't speak pshetlach, they don't speak tyrus. They speak mamish, the core, only what's necessary, not a word more, not a word less, that's bringing us mamish, the hasag of Mashiach. As the dawn of Mashiach continues to rise, you and I are basking in its glow already. And the sun hasn't yet breached the horizon, maybe it's beginning to, but you and I are already having our lives illuminated with that ultimate hasag of Umalard's Deil Adasas Hashem Kamayim Liyamachasim, of that Nekud of Shivisi Hashem Lenagdisam. What the whole Shulchan Aruch is about, that it's preceded by that halacha. The tzaddikim don't necessarily speak about all the other halachas, and of course they do. But within all of those halachas, they penetrate to find the very first halacha. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. That's what the tzaddik emes is. And so all those that are hanging out by the knuffas, by the external edges of the garment, they're going to be shaken off because they won't have that core to be able to return to. And so they'll fall right off. But those that are connected to the teachings of the tzaddik emes will able to hold on and not allow ourselves to be fooled or deluded with regard to what our identity is and who we are. Let's take a look at the Malbim, and the next week I guess we'll continue with the rest of it. because it takes a little bit more time to go through the next piece on Likud Dimran and the Zohar Kaddish and the final piece from Likud Dimran. But let's see the Malbim with this. We'll close for tonight and we'll continue next week with this. And I, like I said, it's a prelude to Sicha Chaf Gimel, so it's gonna work out nicely. It's like a little bit of an introduction. And the Eilig Malbim says on that pasuk in Iyoy, listen to these beautiful words. Because the pasuk preceding this pasuk of Lechas B'Knafis Ha'aretz and Iyov speaks about Shachar, speaks about dawn. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking about, again, why do good things happen to bad people? Why do bad things happen to good people? Which is the essential question of the whole Sefer Iyov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Iyov, trying to explain to him a different Mishalim, that you don't know Cheshbonus. You don't know what light is, what darkness is, why there's darkness for some, why there's light for others. And so the pasuk, right before this pasuk, refers to dawn, refers to daybreak, refers to the sun in the sky traveling around the earth. Or the earth, right? The earth rather traveling and rotating around the sun to go ahead and to become illuminated by its light. And so the Malbim continues based on that pasuk and says, "Ki b'chol rega v'rega, every moment, hashachar machlif es mekomo." Can you imagine this? In all of our midnights, and in the midnight of every single human being, in the darkest point of darkness, for every single person, there's a dawn happening at that very moment somewhere. Think about that for a second. At the same exact moment throughout world history that there was ever a midnight for any individual, at any given second, there was also a dawn for other segments of humanity at that split second. That's the way, that's the chachma in which this world works, right? Is that darkness and light are constantly shifting. Every split second, there's a daybreak somewhere. And that's what the Malbim says here. Every moment, b'chol rega v'rega ha-shachar, machlev es mekoymai. And this world exists in a place where daybreak is just constantly traveling around the world. It's not just, right, that darkness and light, but daybreak itself, dawn, is constantly moving. Every moment there's a dawn. And it's constantly proceeding along the external edge, right, of the circle, right? The circumference of the circle of the earth. What does it mean that a Kadosh Baruch Hu holds onto the edge of the earth? What does it look like when dawn comes? You ever had one of those things, the Etch-a-Sketch, and you shake it, right, and it deletes the picture? It's a pella, how that works. It's mamash amazing. But this is very similar in a certain way. When dawn is breaking, a little bit the darkness is getting shaken away. So that's why this pasuk follows a pasuk that spoke about what? That spoke about dawn and daybreak, because this is exactly what's happening. As dawn breaks, it's like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is holding onto that particular edge, right, of the earth, which doesn't have edges because it's circular, right? But in that place, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is shaking the darkness away, shaking the dust away. And says the Malbim, listen to this deepest thing. He says, when that happens and dawn breaks, and the darkness gets shaken away and light begins to illuminate the darkness. Shebechol makim sheyair hashachar. Because in every moment where dawn is breaking, yivruchu harishayim. The rishayim are running away from that. So it's not so much, he says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the earth, violently shakes it, and all those that aren't really anchored, rooted in with their seatbelt fastened, they fall off. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing light to the world, more and more light to the world. And those that don't have a shaychus with light, they don't have kalim for it, they experience it like darkness, much like Makas Choshech, that the Berditchever Rav tells us, that ultimately Makas Choshech was the deepest light. That's why it says, Olchol b'nei Yisrael ha'yor b'mashvoisam. But it wasn't the nekuda, that for it was darkness for them and light for the Am Yisrael. It was b'chol mashvoisam is moishav tam. It's because they had complete kalim. And memela, they were able to experience the Choshech as light. Because to a person that's been sitting in a room in darkness for a very long period of time, you open the door, what happens? And the sunlight comes in, you like scurrying, in the movies, like when they're in a solitary confinement, they can't handle it, when they open the little slat, because they don't have kalim for it. They don't have kalim. And that's Mamash the Rishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings light to the world steadily, more and more steadily, the giloy of Him, the giloy of essence. And the Rishon can't take it, and they're scurrying. It's like Mamash, also like mice, right, in a cellar. You open a door, and they all go running away. They can't handle the light. That says the Malbim, is what it means that Hashem holds onto the edge of earth. What's the edge? It's where dawn is. Dawn is breaking and the darkness is being scattered. And you know who scatters with the darkness is the Rishayim. They scamper back into it. Rishayim, Yivruch HaRishayim, Shoydidei Laila, Chaysri B'Chayshech, those thieves of night, Chayser B'Chayshech, they are digging in the darkness, Batim into houses, V'Yishchabu B'Chayreim, and they're hiding into their pits. And that's what happens as a Kaddish Baruch Hu brings light to the world. But those that had a kesher to the Tzaddik Emes and to the Tzaddikim Amitim, those that are connected to the light of Mashiach that the Tzaddik is bringing into the world, Memela, when a Kaddish Baruch Hu turns up the illumination by a few notches, they're not running into the darkness because they can't handle it, because we've already been prepared. And I believe with every fiber of my being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been preparing us for Mashiach for the last 200 years. We've largely ignored him. Things are changing now, but we've largely ignored him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to upgrade our consciousness to get us thinking in a deeper way about Yiddishkeit, we need a new Torah, it's the same Torah. We need a new Gilui, we need a new approach, we need new Chinuch, we need new Hasag of what parenting is. We have to get ready for Mashiach. Or mamish, getting the same way we put on physical garments to greet Shabbos, we put on Ruchni's garments to greet the great day to come, the Yom Shekuli Shabbos. We have to get ready. We have to start preparing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been preparing us. Dafka, Rabbi Nachman said, Eish Ali Tukat Ad Bias HaMashiach. There's an Eish here. And the more that we connect with the Eish, the less likely we are to scurry and scamper into the darkness when HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns on the great light. B'Bias Goyal, V'meher V'Ameinu, Amen V'Amen. There's our Hashem. We should be able to see it with our own eyes. Not to come, but to continue to come, to continue to approach, to continue to unfold before our very eyes, and to have the merit and schus of being a part of it. Ashreinu mamish. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much to everybody who tuned in on Zoom and on Facebook. Ashreinu matayu chakeinu. Now we can really get ready for Rosh Hashanah. Now we're ready. Ashreinu mamish. Thank you so much to everyone who joined, and wishing everybody a phenomenal rest of your week. Thank you. Thank you.